And in Psalms chapter 114, verse number 1, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou was taken, that thou was driven back? Ye mountains that ye skip like rams and ye little hills like lambs. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. We have been looking and preaching. A couple of weeks ago, we preached about what the Bible tells us for us to be holy. Amen, for God is holy. We preached last week about God in the Bible tells us that holy is His name. That His name is holy. And we should treat it as such, and how that the world does not view God as holy, but He is holy. This morning, I want to preach to you on this thought around the same subject, the uncomfortable place of holiness. The uncomfortable place of holiness. We read here in our text, it said the sea saw it, fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams. The little hills like lambs. Verse 7, tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Tremble. When we look and we have read in previous weeks what happened when God told Moses to get the people ready to sanctify them against the third day when they were going to go to Mount Sinai and God was going to show up. And when He did, the mountain quaked and it trembled. Not only did the mountain quake and tremble, but the people, it said, as they saw and they looked, they trembled at the presence of God, at the holiness of God, as God showed up. It made them uncomfortable. Holiness has that effect on us. It makes us uncomfortable. There's a story told in the 1970s, a professional golfer, a PGA golfer, was invited to play a round of golf with Jack Nicklaus. And of course, he had played with him numerous times on tour. But the other two was sitting President Gerald Ford at the time. The other one was Billy Graham. And so they went and they played this round of golf. They went through the 18 holes, spent 4.5 hours or so out there on the golf course. When they got finished and they came back, one of his friends, one of his golfer friends, asked him, he said, how was it playing golf with the president and with Billy Graham? And he said he went into a torrent of cursing, and he said, I tell you this, he said, Billy Graham ain't got no business shoving religion down my throat. And he said, buddy, he was just red-faced, and he stormed off to the practice tee, and his friend followed along behind him. He didn't say anything, but he just sat down on the bench and he watched him on the practice tee as he drove those balls with fury down the course, and he just gave him a few minutes, and after then a little bit his anger kind of subsided. And he asked him, he said, well, in a quiet voice, he said, well, he said, was Billy rough on you out there today? He didn't pick up his head. He just hit another ball, and he said, no, he didn't say a word. He said, I just had a bad day. What was it that made him uncomfortable? It was the fact that Billy Graham, what's he associated with? Amen, with religious, with God, with holy things. And amen, it made him uncomfortable. As I was reading and studying, I found that in Holland, they've got a saying, if you're in a conversation, boy, everybody's talking, and then all of a sudden, there's just a awkward silence. Everything just goes quiet. In Holland, they say, oh, a minister just walked by. And see, even me as a minister, you know what? I've seen that and I've felt that as the preachers here. We need to do things a little bit different. I've had people to say things and do things and then find out I was a preacher. You know what? They'd apologize. I said, listen, I didn't mean to talk like I had never heard none of that stuff before. I mean, I appreciate it. Of course, some folks don't care. But I mean, but what is it? What is it that causes an individual, as Daddy told the story about some men that he used to work with years ago, that went to a revival service of the gentleman that was preaching, and they asked him the next day, how was it? And the one fellow said, well, he said, he liked to got me saved before I could get out of that place. See, being in the presence of God, because what happens when holiness, in Scripture, when we talk about and we think about holiness, we get the picture of this light. What happened with Moses whenever he came there? His face was aglow. It shone as a light. And see, that's the picture of holiness, because number one, here's what happens. Holiness, and this is why it makes us uncomfortable, because holiness exposes what we hide. Holiness exposes what we hide. That's why when we're sitting and we hear preaching or teaching, or we reading a book about some things, and it's telling us the Word of God, and it's going contrary to what we know we're doing, what we know to be right, it makes us uncomfortable, because there's an exposure that's going on. In the book of Isaiah, we read, and we've read this text here, but in Isaiah chapter number 6, it tells us in verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. In verse number 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You see, there were some things about Isaiah, about his own self, that as long as he was just in the presence of Isaiah, it didn't really bother him that much. If he was in the presence of his fellow man, he wasn't convicted about it. But when he saw the King, when he saw him high and lifted up, the holiness of God, amen, he said, woe is me, because I am a man of unclean lips. In Luke chapter 5, and we won't turn to read all the verses, but in Luke chapter 5, Peter cried in verse number 8 of Luke 5, Jesus, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I am a sinful man. In John chapter 4, in verse number 29, the woman at the well, what she said and what she told them when Jesus came and she met Jesus there, she told him, I want you to come see a man. I want you to come see a man that told me my life story. I'm paraphrasing, but that everything that I've ever done. Now, you're talking about something that's scary. To meet Jesus, come see a man. And you know what he did? When she met him, he began to tell her, because, you know, go get your husband. Well, I'm not married. But you have been. But the one you're married to now, the one you're with now, he's not even your husband. Listen, here's the thing. That's the holiness of God. That's what makes us uncomfortable, is the fact that, amen, come see a man that told me everything about my whole life, everything that I ever did. He brought it to light. That ain't what we want to bring to light. You know, I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, if when we come to church, he said, if the thoughts of the weak, if somehow our thoughts and the things that we have done through this past week was projected upon the screen for everybody to see, he said, y'all probably wouldn't want me preaching to you. He said, but right on the other hand, if I could see your thoughts and the things. He said, I probably wouldn't care if I preached to you or not. Holiness. When it said in the New Testament, when Pilate said, I find no fault in him at all, that's because there was no fault in him at all. There's fault in us. There's plenty of fault in us. That's what makes us uncomfortable, the exposure when the light of holiness comes on. Things are exposed and men, our deeds are evil, and therefore men love darkness rather than light. Maybe you've been out in the shed at nighttime, been somewhere, it's got a light, you know, someplace it's just a work area or just a storage area, and you go out there and you turn on the light, and if there's any roaches around, you know what happens? Buddy, they'll take off running. They'll come out in the dark. They'll move around. But when the light comes on, they go looking for a hiding place. You know what happened in the Bible to our very first parents when they sinned? God came walking in the garden, and they went to hide. They went to hide because they had sinned and the holiness of God exposed. But listen, when God exposes sin and it makes men, it makes us uncomfortable, but God does not expose to judge. God's not trying to expose so that he can judge. He's trying to expose so that he can diagnose. Because see, you cannot heal what you will not reveal. It's just like with me years ago, several years ago now, when I went to the doctor, I went just for, you know, check up and get my medicines re-upped and all that kind of stuff. And that nurse come in there and they had, you know, drawn a little bit of blood. And she, you know, she come back in there and she looked at me and she said, how long you been a diabetic? I said, I know I was no diabetic. She said, well, she said, your sugar's 300 and something. I said, well, you know what? What was going on there? I didn't go up there for him to tell me I was a diabetic. That wasn't what I was up there for. I was just up there for a checkup. But amen. But see, I needed to know. I needed to know that it was 300. I needed to know that there were some things I needed to change, some things I needed to do. Now, I'll tell you what. I wish they hadn't had to tell me that. Because they tell me ice cream and diabetics don't mix. I love ice cream. Maybe that's why I was a diabetic. I ate too much ice cream. But what I'm saying is it's not what I wanted to hear. But listen, I need to hear it. We go to God's house sometimes. Boy, folks get upset. And the preacher or this one, I said, listen, whenever I preach, I mean, the one that I preach to first, y'all can guarantee this, is me. When I'm sitting at home and I'm studying and I'm going over all of these things, amen, the Word of God, it's like the Bible said, a sword, it cut to the dividing of asunder, amen, of the bone, the marrow, it gets down to the nitty-gritty, as we might say. And it exposes things. Amen. When I got the checkup, it exposed some things. I found out some things. So I found out some things I didn't want to hear, but some things I needed to know. And God's Word, sometimes when we hear the Word of God, amen, we find out some things that we don't want to hear, but some things that we need to know. But see, every time holiness exposes, but also exposure leads to cleansing. Every time that God exposes something, He immediately provides a way to be made clean. Isaiah said, woe is me. But the angel went to the altar and he got a coal from off of the altar. Amen. To go and to touch his lips. David, when there was an exposure, when the prophet came unto him, amen, he fell to his knees praying and asking God, amen, to create in me a clean heart and a right spirit. Amen. There was forgiveness, amen, for him. The woman caught in the very act of adultery, what did Jesus say unto her? He said, go and sin no more. God never reveals sin without offering cleansing. Men will reveal things for amusement. Amen. Men will try to embarrass us with things. But amen, that's not what God does. God's looking to help us. God's looking to redeem us. God's looking to save us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so this exposure leads to cleansing because God is interested in holiness. God's interested in holiness. Thirdly, holiness breaks us, but only so it can build us. The trembling, the conviction, the discomfort, all of that takes place to break apart the things that bind. The pride and the sin in our life, God's trying to shake it loose, shake us and set us free from those things. God, He breaks what is killing us so He can restore in us what's missing. He's not trying to kill us. He's trying to save us. He's trying to kill that sin, that thing that has a hold of our hearts and our lives. Amen. And so He wounds the wound, not the person. It's the wound that He tries to wound that He might heal the person. In Hosea 6 and 1, it says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us. He has smitten and He will bind us up." David, in that prayer that we mentioned in Psalm 51, verse 10, he prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with Thy free spirit." David longed to be where he once was, because sin separates us from God. And amen, the prophet came and David recognized, amen, that it's me. But boy, he prayed and God revealed what was the issue. David prayed and God restored. But holiness also transforms what it touches. Paul, before he was Paul, when he was still Saul, where God changed, saved him, changed his name in Acts chapter 9 and verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" You know what happened there? He was transformed. He was saved. And he would go on in his lifetime. It's recorded for us in Scripture a couple of times, but maybe it happened more than just a couple of times. But he reported testifying. Let me tell you, what I want to tell you about is that I was on the road to Damascus. And he said, and I met a man. He was blinded. Somebody had to lead him. It turned his world upside down, but it set him free. He was never the same. Amen. When he met Jesus. And when we come into contact, when we meet Jesus, when we see Him for who He is, amen, we'll never be the same. It transformed Paul. It saved him. And every encounter with God, with God's holiness, ends in transformation. It made a difference in Isaiah. Amen. He said, Isaiah talked about being unclean, but the angel took the coal. Amen. God made Isaiah, he was a special prophet. Peter asked Jesus, you know, "Don't come around me." But amen, He made him a preacher. Paul became an apostle. The woman at the well, amen, she became a witness. Come see a man. Come see a man. Holiness does not leave us where it finds us. It transforms and it changes. When Isaiah saw the King of Kings, when he saw Him, His glory, amen, he was changed. Paul was changed that day on the road to Damascus. As a matter of fact, he said that he spent the rest of his life trying to apprehend that of which he had been apprehended of on the road to Damascus. He said, I've been pursuing it the rest of my life. I hadn't attained, but he said, I hadn't quit trying. And he said, I'm pressing toward that mark for the prize. One day we're going to get to heaven, and one day, what's the Bible said? We're going to see Him. The Bible said we're going to be like Him. But lastly this morning, the presence that exposes is also the presence that empowers. All that happened there in Isaiah chapter number 6, He said, woe is me. Woe is me. But on down around in verse number 8, God said, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Isaiah then said, I, here am I. Send me. Woe is me. But amen, but just in a minute. He said, when God asked who you're going to send, He said, send me. The same presence that made Him cry out, woe is me. Amen, is the same presence, the same power that made Him say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Send me. God made Him say, woe is me. But then He also said, whom shall I send? Send me. The same Jesus who confronted Peter and his sins is the same Jesus that said unto Peter, feed my sheep. Go and feed my sheep. You see, conviction is the doorway to calling. God has to convict us. God shows up and, amen, the preacher preaches a word. The Sunday school teacher says something. We pick up and we read a gospel tract, or we read a book, or we hear something on the radio. We hear and something moves us, and we recognize and realize that, boy, we begin to feel uncomfortable. Folks don't want to come to the house of God. They don't want to sit under the preaching of the Word of God. Some folks, boy, they get the old saying, you get to talking about Jesus and about the things of God around some folk, and they get like a worm in an ant bed. Amen. You know what they get? They get uncomfortable. Why? Because of the holiness of God. Not because of our holiness. Not because of who we are, but amen, because of who God is. Amen. And because of His holiness, because He is light. And boy, He shines. And see, just like Adam and Eve in the garden, they went and they hid. And God came in the cool of the day and He called them. Here's the thing about God and His calling. God knew where they was at. He did that for their benefit, not for His. It could have been just like this. And I'll tell you, this is kind of a funny story. My son is, you know, he was on up teenager and he was playing one of them games on the computer, you know, one of them Xbox or something like one of them games. And growing up, you know, I'd played with him and he was playing them football games. He couldn't even read, but he knew if it was red, it was a run. If it was blue, it was a pass. That's all he knew. And he played and he was pretty good at it. But, you know, I could compete with him playing, but as he got on up teenager, you know, and he called me the last time I ever played a game with him, he said, Daddy, come here and play this fighting game. And we in this thing in this city, but it's going around, and I don't know what to do. And I'm hunting him, you know. I know I'm supposed to be hunting him. He's hunting me. And boy, I got, you know, he's giving me a good gun, a good something that works good. And I'm looking all over for him. Next thing I know, in the diagram there on the TV, he taps me on the shoulder and hits me with the butt of his gun, knocks me down, I'm gone. I never see him coming. You see, God could have told Adam and Eve when they was there in the garden. I mean, they could have just went and hide and been all hunkered down. And the very next thing he could, God could have just tapped him on the shoulder. But He didn't. He called him. I mean, He's calling today because the holiness of God makes men want to run and hide. It makes men want to do and cry out as that golfer did and curse with obscenities. Because the uncomfortableness in which it makes them feel. As they come this morning with a song of invitation, holiness is not our enemy. But amen, it is a doorway. It exposes to cleanse. it breaks to rebuild, and it transforms that it might send. Maybe this morning we might need to be like Isaiah and say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Will you stand with us this morning? And while we sing this morning, if you have a need, I pray you come while we sing.